Adventure 02, the podcast where the hideousness of that foot will haunt my dreams forever. Today, we are watching episode 12 of Digimon Adventure 02, episode 66 of the franchise, The Good, The Bad, and The Digi. And welcome back, Nolan. Welcome to 2024. How's the year been going for you so far?
The year itself has been fine, I guess. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of terrible, awful shit from 2023 that spilled over into our new year here. But none of that shit's happening to me. Fucking score. So, yeah, I've been trying to enjoy it. I've been trying to do a lot of work. I've been more productive than usual lately. I've started working out a lot more, too.
Good.
Yeah. nothing fills the void, but, you know,
we're
just going to keep piling stuff on, and that's why we're here today, to talk about some Digimon.
Yeah. And fill up that void with some content for you guys.
Yeah, we're here to fill your void, so get ready. Get ready for us to fill you up.
So, so this is our, I guess this is our first recording session of the new year.
Yeah,
and
it's been a little while.
I hope you guys have enjoyed the trip down memory lane the last couple of weeks with the fandom classics, but we're back, and memory serves, last time we wrapped up a three-parter with the introduction of Rageramon, Vmon's second armor form. They fought Sickly Blue Metal Greymon, and so we've got a new development with the Dark Spirals giving the Digimon Emperor control over stronger Digimon, introduced new Digivolve forms, or the idea of new Digivolve forms for the protagonists. And so what do you think is going to happen this week?
Well, I've got a pretty strong prediction here for you. So
they always are.
Yep. All right, we open on Istanbul.
Okay.
Formerly Constantinople. And we establish a Turkish national who is being given a passport and credentials to get into the former Yugoslavia, also known as the Czech Republic, Czech 1-2. And in doing so, he is to gain information from a formerly deposed Soviet official who has been using his power and influence in the now defunct state of the Czech Republic.
Okay.
In this timeline, smuggle drugs and sex traffic. And there's only one man who can stop this conflict, who we realize has been watching all of this take place. He's got a ponytail, a nice shock of black hair, a deep widow's peak, never gets out of his seat, and still manages to be one of the greatest fighting forces of all time. I'm talking, of course, about
Furio.
Yeah, you know, the great Steven Seagal.
Oh, okay.
And he is, but what's that on his hip? Yeah, that's right, it's a Digivice. It takes one good man to with time to kill. That's a totally different movie, never mind. To, not that I'm talking about movies. To get into the digital world, where he finds this Turkish national has also come across his own Digimon, and we'll see what kind of intrigue ensues. This will kind of be like the part one of a six-part
okay.
sort of movie dynasty. Now, I know that we have had, no live action scenes at all.
Right.
This entirely animated child's cartoon. But I just figured, what episode are we on?
12.
Yeah, it's about time for us to get Steven Seagal in this picture.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, in this timeline, he's still a little less rotund, I think. You know? He's still pretending to talk like a Chinese person instead of pretending to talk like a black person.
Right.
at this point in time. So I think we're gonna, he's gonna figure out what it means to be digi-destined. Oh man, that's problems. Yep.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Should be a good one.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. So yeah, I guess we'll go do that, and we will be right back with our talkies on that talkie. Be right back. All right, and we are back.
Yep.
Welcome, one and all.
Welcome.
So before we get into the episode, I just have to say the previously ons are fascinating to me because
it seems like they wrote a completely different thing.
Yeah, like it gives you like just a little peek into what they think the last episode was.
Yeah.
Which is like
it's usually not enough information in the actual episode, and then
the synopsis
always has.
Yeah, it's amazing that like in a minute synopsis, they're able to actually like communicate the idea they were trying to get across that they couldn't in 20 minutes of television, or that they think they did but didn't. It's fascinating to get a little of that peek into the mind of the writers and what they think the show is like portraying in the episode.
Yeah. Well, Zach, actually, before we go any further, I have a little bad news. Actually, I have to go. I have to leave right now.
Oh.
And I do think that there's going to be somebody that can replace me in this episode. And I think it's very apropos. I think there he comes now. Yeah. Swaggering in.
Oh.
From the other room. All right. Well, see you guys later.
Okay. All right. Bye, Nolan. Yeah. Thanks.
Hey there, Pilgrim. It's me, the ghost of John Wayne. This here's one of my favorite episodes of that there Digimon program. We're going to talk about it.
Hmm. Oh, what's your favorite part about the episode?
Definitely whenever they brought in my voice. I was a ghost at the time still, but I wanted to make my impression on the new youth.
John Wayne's voice actor.
John Wayne, professional voice actor. I really showed my range during this one, too.
You did.
Absolutely.
Well, there weren't enough. Native Americans in the video in the episodes. We didn't get like a glimpse into your rage and hatred in the episode. But
normally, I would just say, "Go hire a bunch of Mexicans, and we'll pretend like they're natives." That's our usual MO. But this here came from Japan. See.
well, John, can I call you John?
Please.
All right. Well, John, if you would like to start at the beginning of the episode, we can do that.
All right, Pilgrim. Go ahead and shoot if you're ready.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, Bergermon is being chased by Airdramons, who she later just calls.
She calls them flying dragons, like they don't have a whole naming convention to describe that kind of thing.
Sora gets an email during soccer practice that Beelmon is in trouble. We cut to the kids playing with their Digimon. Gatomon is primping herself. TK is sleeping. Davis is fat shaming Demi Vmon. And Cody and Upamon are doing kendo shit together. And Yoli's not really doing anything because the show doesn't know what to do with Yoli. They all meet up in the computer lab. They find Beelmon's distress signal, and they head to the desert and find themselves in a saloon complete with a player piano and a spaghetti western cliche of a sheriff called Starmon.
My kind of place.
Yeah, did this feel accurate to you? Is what your experience on so many Old West TVs or TV and movie sets?
Yeah, where it seems like the only important people around are law officials.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of a ghost town.
Yeah, that's I mean, this may be insensitive to ask, but...
Yeah, we find that term offensive here in the ghost world, actually.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
We have our own towns, and they're bustling, let me tell you. I was just partying with Jeff Epstein myself.
Really?
Yeah. Trust I would have made it onto that plane had I been given the chance, Pilgrim.
Now, are you talking about the plane to his island or, like, the circle of hell that he exists on?
Both.
Oh, you okay. Know?
Trust. We're fucking children either way.
I believe it. So Sora asks about Beelmon, and Starmon tells her that Beelmon is wanted by the Emperor. And what a surprise, the police in this town serve the ruling class.
Ah. Wait, what do you mean by that, Pilgrim? You some kind of goddamn communist? Back in my day, we'd have you tied to a tree and raped, I guess.
Well, thank goodness it's not your day. It's just as bad. They tried to escape, but Starmon felt threatened and used lethal force. Justified, of course.
Of course.
And he imprisons them in the same cell as Beelmon. Why? I mean, I guess the jail only has the one cell, or he didn't think that through. Vemon gives himself a concussion trying to get out of the cell. Armadillomon says he could dig them out, but he hasn't eaten, and so he doesn't have the energy to digivolve to Digmon and do it. But luckily, Deputymon is here to save the day.
Yep.
And
one of my greatest roles.
Yeah.
Other than playing Genghis Khan in The Conqueror, this was the highlight of my career.
I was about to ask if you can tell us about this role. And
well, of course, I had a line of 15-year-old girls there to receive me in the green room. And that's the only way I'll go and do voice work.
Yeah, you. Speaking of 15-year-old girls, so you exposed yourself to the children.
I said I wouldn't step foot into the studio if I didn't get an opportunity to expose myself to every single one of the main cast of this here television program.
Well, I mean, if you can just walk us through your process in that. Like, how do you mentally prepare to, it was tastefully cut, but
I said the same thing about my circumcision.
Well, I assume that are you actually naked in the shot, or how do you? And
I arrived to the studio
yourself?
Naked,
okay.
So that I could get in the headspace.
Okay.
You see a star like me coming, and you better part ways, especially when I'm hanging dong.
So John Wayne Mon lets the kids go. But just the girls, because...
Just the women folk.
Just the women folk, because boys cheat at cards.
We call that batting the ratio.
Starmon comes back, but when the boys tell him about Deputymon, he storms off and leaves his lunch. Meanwhile, Deputymon plays Old Maid with the girls.
By the way, that's the one thing I took umbrage with.
What's that?
I don't know if you've seen my stature here as a ghost, but I would never leave a lunch behind.
Well, Starmon left the lunch, not you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Was it Starmon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck him. A lawman knows to always fill his belly, is all I'm saying.
Oh, for sure. Deputymon plays Old Maid with the girls when Starmon shows up and challenges him to a duel by the old church at sunset. Meanwhile, Armadillomon and Vemon eat Starmon's food, and Digmon breaks them out of jail. So Starmon dropped you like an old habit, or a bad habit, his words, not mine. This is your first role in a long time since you died.
Yeah.
I guess you're usually, you know, the big strong hero. Was it hard for you to inhabit the space of someone that would lose in a duel like that, or how did you...
Well, spending years as a ghost humbles a man. It makes him a little bit more receptive to defeat. Pilgrim?
That makes sense. So you feel like your time in hell has prepared you for a role like this?
Absolutely.
That's interesting. I never would have thought of the correlation and the method immersion of time in hell.
When a man
and how
takes
it relates
11
to the
inches,
digital world.
When a man takes 11 inches of a demon's cock, he has nothing to do but accept himself as capable of being defeated. Pilgrim.
So Vemon get okay. So Vemon gets knocked out of his Rageramon form. And so he tells Davis to digivolve him to Flamedramon because Flamedramon is a better fighter. But just
what the hell does that mean?
Well, just last week he was only able to beat Metal Greymon because he digivolved to Rageramon.
Perhaps it was a type sort of thing.
I guess that's possible.
My grandson's been telling me about this gay-ass Pokemon shit, and type advantage is very important in that. I figured in Digimon it ought to be pretty much the same.
You know, sometimes it seems like it is, and sometimes it seems like it doesn't matter one bit whatsoever.
Fair enough.
But anyway, Flamedramon takes down the spire and free Starmon. They play cards with the cops, and Ken reminds us that he exists. And that's it. That's the episode. So before we go into our rankings and such, do you have any final thoughts or insights into this episode that you can give us?
Well. Insightfully, I'd have to say, you should never look twice at a lawman like that. They knew that they should have just came in and been thankful that has come.
Okay. That's...
Law officials are always correct in any type of interaction they've ever had with anyone ever.
Okay, yeah. That's more on brand, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, you may be a little bit biased here because of, it doesn't seem like you personally like Starmon that much. Or maybe I'm just reading into your character in the show as Deputy Mon. But where do you think we should rank Starmon on our list?
Just guessing. If I had to compare it to like some kind of a, I don't know, if we were ranking them based on technology companies or something like that,
yeah,
just a shot in the dark, I'd have to say it's whatever. I think he's probably in like the A or S tier, considering he has a lot of personality and is pretty silly and funny in general. And then he has the kids drink his gum the first time he sees him.
Yeah, that is true. I wonder what A or S tier would be for you. Did you have anything other than like what IBM, Macintosh,
Raytheon, the Iron Dome? it's
so in our S tier, Samsung, which I hate to tell you this, but I believe that is a Japanese company.
No.
They're awful things happen. They have greatly eclipsed American manufacturing, especially in
the
level of technology.
You know, we had a three-letter word we used to describe those folks back in the day. Whack.
So in our S tier, we have Andromon and Metal Greymon. And in the A tier, we have Red Vegemon and Roachmon. So
I'd say he's probably in the A camp, whatever.
You think A? That's Apple, which is what we call Macintosh now.
Was I even alive when Macintosh was around?
I don't remember.
Me neither. Who can tell?
And, let's see. And, oh yeah, this episode. So, what kind of egg does this?
Like I have every morning, I actually think this one's a Fabergé egg.
Really? Okay. Wait, you have a Fabergé egg every morning?
Absolutely. Back in the 50s.
Do you eat it?
Yeah, if you weren't shitting blood by lunchtime, you weren't eating. Pilgrim?
All right, well.
Yeah. Well, that's been my time. I'm going to go ahead and head on out of here.
Well, thank right, you. Pilgrim. Enjoy eternal damnation.
Absolutely. You know I do.
I know you do. And...
Oh, God, I'm back. I just saw John Wayne skipping out of here. That was really weird.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded like he was...
He kind of had like a flouncy run to him.
Yeah, it sounded like he was galloping on a horse with a broken foot, but...
I thought those were his spurs, but, you know, I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
I mean, apparently he was galloping on his spurs.
Did he do my quotes, or did he...
No, he didn't do the quotes.
Oh, he didn't do the quotes. Okay.
No.
Let's go through those real quick.
Yeah, please.
Let's see. I can't read my handwriting here. Cats like mice, not moose.
Mm.
I thought it said mouse, but they're spelled the same.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, when Gatomon is sort of preening and primping herself in mm-hmm. the mirror at the beginning of the episode, they have a little interchange of some puns. Let's see. Oh, Yoli accuses Cody of eating Upamon whenever he steps outside of his apartment complex with a Upamon under his shirt. Pretty silly there. Yoli admits that she's just been blowing that gas in the desert whenever she gets into the saloon and is like, my mouth feels like a dryer filled with cotton balls. Yeah, we've all been there, all right? Cody gives a little, like, aphorism here where he says, people are like milk, they can go bad, referring to Starmon,
mm-hmm.
which is weird because Starmon is A, not a person,
right?
And B, that kind of implies that, like, once a person goes bad, that they can never do anything to him.
Right.
Or the only thing you can do is throw him away. So, yeah, a little weird fascism coming out of Cody. Whenever Starmon jails them, he tells them that there's no shucking oysters in months without an R, which is just May, right? Wait, August?
Yeah, August. Well, June, July.
July.
August.
May, August, June, July. So just in the summer.
Right.
Weird. let's see. Yoli says... whenever they're hungry in the jail, mm-hmm. that she should call her dad because he delivers.
Right.
I don't know if that is just her, like, spitting out from heat exhaustion, but, hey, what convenience store in the fucking planet delivers? I know that happens sometimes, but,
right.
like, weird. Maybe it was more common back then. And
I feel like it's probably more common now with...
I guess, like, the gig economy bullshit. Anyway, let's see. Actually, my favorite line of the show was Deputy Mon, whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Deputy Mon?
The gun is Deputy Mon, yeah.
Yeah. Deputy Mon says, nobody controls me, not even myself. That's a pretty good line. And then when he gets naked, he's like, see any rings now? It's like, just the one on your cock, buddy. And then whenever they're having the shootout,
mm-hmm.
Instead of just shooting at him, whenever Starmon turns around and Deputy Mon reveals that he's already facing him, he just says, that's right. I've already turned around. Sorry, I can't do a John Wayne very well. But But yeah, that's all I've got for quotes this episode. All
right. Well, I'd like to once again thank John Wayne for guesting on this episode, and we'll be back next week with episode 13, His Master's Voice. See you then. Have a good week. Goodbye.